This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
안녕하세요, 여러분. Welcome to K-Talk, brought to you by the Dunedin Korean Language and Culture Society.
We are your hosts, Takaria
and Kina.
Join us every second Tuesday evening at 8:30 p.m. on ORFM for an exploration of Korea, from its music and culture to language and politics.
Find all our episodes on oar.org.nz. 이번 에피소드를 즐겨주시길 바랍니다.
Hello, 여러분. K-Talk Show에 환영합니다. 오늘은 제 마지막 에피소드입니다. It's my last episode today, but of course K-Talk will continue on with a new host. I hope that listeners have enjoyed hearing my thoughts on language learning and Korean culture. For my last episode today, I've got on a special guest. She's been on before, my flatmate, friend, and fellow language learner, Sophia.
Hi everyone, 안녕하세요. 저는 임수혜입니다. Hi, I'm Sophia, and I'm Kina's favorite flatmate. I loved to come back to the show again, and yes. Feel honored.
Thank you very much for coming on before and a second time now.
Yay.
It's good fun. And the first song you guys heard is Kim Yerim with a song called Au. So I hope you enjoyed that. Now, how long have you been studying Korean?
I think studying is a too serious word for my language learning journey, but I got exposed to Korean when I was in intermediate school, when I was approximately 15 years old, 15, 16 years old.
So you've been dabbling in a
Yeah. And because that's when I became Super Junior's fan.
Yeah. So for you, K-pop was definitely a gateway to
learning. Yeah. Or else I don't think I have the opportunity or like the
exposure.
Like, yeah, exposure.
Yeah.
And now I'm 24, so I think it's been
9, 8, 10.
Yeah.
I started around the same time then.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, true.
Around 2015?
Yeah, I think for me it's 2016.
Yeah. Mm. And are you learning any other languages currently?
I've been trying to learn German, French, and sometimes, just very occasionally, Italian.
Oh, yeah.
And Japanese.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you do it all?
More German and French, yeah. And Korean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. That's a lot. How do you balance learning so many different languages?
Like, because it's not like a assignment or a uni work for me, so I don't find hard to balance it at all, because I just do it whenever and whichever I want to learn.
Mm.
So it's not pressure for me at all. I'm lucky I don't have to go through, like, language tests. I just do it, you know, for my own sake and for my own interest.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like it's a way to study that would be really sustainable, because you're not forcing yourself, you're not forcing anything, you're just naturally...
Because I'm the kind of person that if I got forced to learn this, like, uni work, I would be like, oh, I don't want to learn this. But if it's something that I don't have to have a test on, then I'll be happy, I'll be very curious about what to learn about this.
Yeah. So how do you go about learning? What's your, like... preferred method of language learning? Mostly watching shows, from what I remember.
Yeah, I think I'm better in listening, and that can, so when, if my listening is better, then it can complement my speaking and writing. So
input first.
Yeah.
That fits with some of the things I've talked about on previous episodes, and also some of the research I've done into, well, you know, some of the things that I've looked into in relation to language learning. It seems like doing input first, trying to just do lots of listening, lots of reading, that is a good way to learn.
It's like you need to start somewhere and go from what you feel interested first. Like when I'm learning English, I found, it might sound like a weirdo, but I found memorizing all the English vocabularies really help, and I really accumulate a lot of vocabularies throughout the time, and that really complement other parts of...
So how do you memorize vocabulary, though? Do you do, like, word cards, like flashcards?
I like to memorize and study with, like, a vocabulary textbook. We have that in Taiwan. Okay. I'm not sure in other countries, but it's literally called Vocabularies 4500, because there's 4500 vocabularies in that textbook-ish, and it has the how you pronounce it, the
Did you do that with, like, Korean as well?
Not really, because I'm being cheap. I don't want to spend money on, like, other stuff.
But I'm sure you can... I know that you can find lists of, like, the most common Korean words. Do you use that?
I actually Google it on... sort any kind of website, and just to see, because they usually start with a lot of vocabularies, PDF files out there. They're very easy, like oppa,
yeah.
And I'm trying to find something that's more advanced.
Yeah,
and I did, and I just started from there with like 회사. Okay, that's not probably
no, but yeah, that's not probably a
something that's more advanced that you can, if you spend more time Googling it, yeah, it should be fine.
But so you do go through quite somewhat systematically, learn, sit down and actually learn the most common words, rather than just only watch stuff.
Yeah, actually, because I think watching shows are not enough.
Mm.
You gotta have some more foundation, and I think vocabularies are one of them.
Yeah.
To build up your foundation. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm of the mindset that you can learn vocabulary through TV shows, because Well, it depends. If you're just passively watching them, then maybe not.
Mm.
But if you, like, pause when you don't understand something, look it up, and then it's like, it's as if you had a flashcard of that word come up, and you check what the meaning is.
Mm.
And then when that word comes up again, if you don't remember it, you look it up again. It's like having another flashcard.
Yeah. Mm.
And eventually, if it's common, you will learn it.
Mm.
If it's not common, then it's probably not that important to learn yet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I think it's the exposure, like, when you have the impression of this word, and once you talk to people or saw this on the show or something, and then you're like, oh, wait, I think I know about this. And I actually have I use Notability on my iPad and to write down a lot of vocabularies in Korean. So I just go back, I'm like, oh, wait, okay, I now remember.
Yeah.
Like, winter and mirror.
Yeah, I always mix those
up. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I have, like, a vocabularies file for myself.
Yeah. Is there anything in particular with language learning that you struggle with?
I think it's the grammar.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that you need to learn from, like, actively learn from people who speak that language or a teacher to build that right. That's my perspective.
That's how you prefer to learn it.
Yeah.
Although I find sometimes native speakers are not very good at explaining grammar.
Yes.
Yeah. It has to be someone that's thought about grammar, like a teacher or something.
Yeah.
I found good resources online, like How to Study Korean. Have you used that website? It's just called I think it's How to Study Korean.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they do grammar explanations.
I actually didn't know about that.
It's a good resource. I recommend that.
Okay.
Do
they do other languages as well?
No, I think just Korean.
Okay.
Yeah, pretty sure. One thing I've been struggling with, and which I thought might make an interesting topic for this episode, is we both have a lot of sort of life changes currently happening or coming up. And I've been struggling to adapt my language learning routine as my life changes, because I'm very routine driven, and a lot of how I progressed with language learning is by having very set times of my day allocated to it, and like automatically I know, oh, okay, it's that time, I'm back from uni, it's after dinner or whatever, I'm gonna do my language study now. And so I don't even think about it, it's just part of my routine. Like, one of the things I would do often would be like watching shows on Netflix or movies in Korean or Japanese, oftentimes just whatever I feel like, and I'll use a VPN to, like, watch it in Korean or Japanese.
Oh, wow.
But now that I'm living with my partner, when I have time to watch a series or watch a movie, I want to watch it with him. But he's not learning Korean.
Oh, I see.
So I don't have time to, like, watch infinite amounts of episodes and movies in a day, right? So that's kind of, I need to find a new way to get that study in. Or I just study less, right? But so that's one of the things I've been thinking about. And you're gonna go from, like, studying to working full-time. So I guess my question is, have you had this kind of needing to adjust before? And how do you think you'll do it when you start your job next year?
So this year I've been really heavily focusing on my academic performance and uni stuff. And I think it was so heavily occupied in my life that I really didn't have enough time allocated to language learning. But the good thing is I use Duolingo, and it gives you the reminder every day just to spend either just spend like 2-3 minutes playing one game to get your flow going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To even just get started.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just don't stop. Like, continuous learning is the best. Because once you stop, you forget everything.
That's why routine's so important.
Exactly.
And it wants you... For me, if it disrupts, I get very like, well, what's the point? I missed a day. Duo the owl is mad at me now. So I can't go back to Duolingo.
Okay.
The owl's going to be mad at me.
Yeah. You know, I lost my streak once, and I'm like, oh, no, because I was so busy, and I was like, okay, I'll pay 500 gems to get it back.
Yeah. But I think that's a good idea. So one of the things that you just mentioned is, well, you like using technology that give you reminders.
Yes.
Another one is using apps or activities that you can do in very short increments of time.
Yeah.
Like Duolingo is one.
Mm.
Even though I don't know, like, I think you'd agree it's not like the most effective language learning method.
Yeah.
But it's good that it makes it like fun and
accumulative.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And for me, one thing I like to use is Link, because I can read content in that language on there. Like, I'll download ebooks on there.
Oh.
And because it's on my phone, I can
do it everywhere.
Do it everywhere.
Anytime.
Even if I only have a short amount of time, like, you just read, like, a few sentences, and even that's better than
remember nothing. The book, oh, it's still in my room, that you lent to me? And Tongwu
Nongjiang. The novels.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And because, like, I'm not really good at reading.
Yeah.
But how I read those books is that I read them out. So
out loud?
I can so use it as reading and listening to help me understand
and
the
pronunciation practice.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And that actually helped a little, yeah.
And one thing I noticed with novels is sometimes it's useful to read it slowly, look up every single word, try to understand everything, but you get very tired if you do
exactly.
that. So you can alternate between that and then just skim reading very quickly. Even if you don't understand everything, you'll get a rough impression. And I noticed that I got a lot better at kind of making out what is this about, what's roughly happening. Even if I don't understand all the individual words, I can roughly follow. I think I understand what the plot is about if I just keep going, even when I don't understand.
Okay. What I was thinking was I should read a book that I already know the storyline, but in Korean.
Have you read Harry Potter?
Yes, I've watched Harry Potter.
Is not it the same.
Yeah.
The books are better. No, but I've got the third Harry Potter.
In Korean?
In Korean.
Yeah. Okay, I should return you those books first.
Yeah. But I think I've linked you Animal Farm.
And
I think
Horror.
Yeah, that one, the second one is harder, I think.
Oh, okay.
Like.
Oh, yes, you did tell me. Yeah,
yeah, but Animal Farm, it's interesting, but the language is quite simple. I think that's a good one to
Animal practice. Farm is the one that I can understand better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me too, yeah.
Mm.
I think the language is much easier to follow.
Mm.
But the content is still complex, so it's not like a kid's book, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that's a good one. But yeah, reading stuff you've already read in English, that's definitely a good one.
Yeah.
So another thing that I thought that I should do more is trying to just build it into your daily routine, like even when you're busy.
Yeah.
But things like, I need to do a lot more listening, which you can do when you're on your way to work or to uni, when you're doing
Korean podcast.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, when you're doing chores, when you're cooking, whatever, you can just be listening to that.
Yeah.
It just takes discipline to, when you have free time, you have the choice between like listening to something that you fully understand and you can just relax. Or, like, pushing yourself a little bit.
I think, even though we're all grow-ups now, but I think we can still make that 2-3 minutes, like, squeeze out that 2-3 minutes every day with among our daily life, busy daily life. It's still doable.
Yeah, but it can be, you have to make it a habit.
Yes, yes. Or set a reminder. Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess take is definitely a big help in that regard. And maybe, although I don't really like this one, when you get busier, you might also need to sort of adjust your goals and your expectations. Like, you can't expect yourself
exactly
to make the same amount of progress.
Yeah, I think this, when you're learning language just out of interest, you shouldn't force yourself, make it stressful. It will just lose your interest. So take it easy. Just, you know, learn when you feel like learning more, or and learn a bit less when you feel like you don't want to put that much effort.
Yeah.
Just one thing, keep it going.
Yeah. And that's also consistent with like the research on language learning, which is if you associate it with stress, you don't progress as well as when you're relaxed when you're learning.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, some people need to put some pressure on themselves to be motivated.
Yes.
So that's a hard line
appropriate
to draw.
Stress.
Yeah.
Appropriate pressure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like a reminder and not someone like, Have you learned every day? Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think with that, we should wrap up here. Is there anything you would like to add?
Oh, I just want to have a little introduction for my song recommendation today.
Oh, yes.
Because I've been rewatching Endap Para, 1988. Mm-hmm. Oh my god, every time I watch it, it hits differently.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been up to like episode 8,
mm-hmm.
and I cried every episode. I wasn't like this before, but yeah, so it's from Ijok, Don't Worry. And hope you guys.
걱정 말아요, 그대.
Oh, 걱정 말아요, 그대. Yes.
Yeah, so you would recommend this K-drama as well?
Yes, because people who are in the 1980s, 1990s, mm-hmm. or who've watched this show before,
mm-hmm.
they'll all enjoy the song and enjoy the show as well.
Yeah.
Mm.
What is it about? Is it just about like a school in the 80s or?
And a bunch of friends who live in the same neighborhood.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Where is it set?
In Seoul. Yeah. Sangmundong.
Okay.
Yeah. And then you can see a lot of vintage stuff, like how they use their makeup and what was trendy at that time.
88. So like, that was when it was still the military dictatorship.
Was it?
Mm.
I'll leave you to it, yes.
Is that a plot point? Like, does it talk about sort of the government?
A little. A little bit about the protest.
Yeah.
A little.
Yeah.
A little. Very slightly.
I'd be interested in that.
Yeah.
Also just general life in the 80s.
Yeah.
Always, 80s fashion is always fun.
They're talking. So these bunch of friends,
mm-hmm.
they're in their 18, 19 sort of age,
mm-hmm.
in 1988. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, so they're the 386 generation. Have you heard of that?
386.
Yeah, they were in the 80s. They were part of the big protest movements.
Uh huh.
So they were born probably around the 60s, and then by the time of the 80s, they were students.
I think they were probably born in the 70s.
Yeah, well, these guys, if they're 18 in 1988, they would have been born 1970.
Oh, true.
Yeah. But so the 386 generation, born in the 60s, in their 30s by the time of the student protests.
Oh, yes.
So then by the 90s and 2000s, they came into politics and they were like a lot more pro-democracy than the previous generations.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yes, they were fighting for democracy and. Mm-hmm. But just very slightly, because you know how.
So I guess these are a bit younger than the 386 generation.
Yes. Recommend everyone.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me today.
들어주셔서 감사합니다.
감사합니다.
Deixa eu... 우리가 함께 노래합시다. 후회 없이 꿈을 꿨다 말해요. 지나간 것은 지나간 대로 그런 의미가 있죠. 우리 다 함께 노래합시다. 후회 없이 꿈을 꿨다 말해요. 지나간 것을 지나간 대로 그런 의미가 있죠.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air. This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air. This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.